I want to talk to you about a little boy that was healed in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to two scriptures before we take communion. The two scriptures tell the same story, but there's a reason why I'm going to the second one, which you will see. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 20. We're focusing on healing today, and we're going to really just hear what the Word of God has to say about this very important subject, this very important matter. And it's so important that our hearts are right, and that our perspective is also right, and that we have on the spectacles of the Lord, really, spiritual spectacles on, to read and to perceive what the Holy Spirit is saying through these verses to us today. So I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 20. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. We pray that our hearts, our minds, our spirit will be open, Lord God, to receive what you are saying to us. And help us, O God, at the end of this to be doers and not just hearers of your word. We give you thanks for the manifestation of your glory, Lord God, which will be seen upon us, Lord, as a result of our obedience today. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage, Jesus had just come from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And we know about the Transfiguration. You can read about that earlier in the chapter. And Jesus had come down, and as soon as he came down, he was met, and his disciples was met with this man who had a boy that had epilepsy. And the man apparently had brought the boy to the disciples to get healing, and they could not heal him. Healing did not come forth. So the man came to Jesus, and Jesus addressed the man, as we've just read in the Bible. But there's a few things I want to say before I go into this context. This context really has a lot to say. I'm not going to actually bring out everything within the story itself. I just want to bring out a few points. I'm going to flip over to the book of Mark, where we're going to read again the same story. And Mark will bring out a little bit more than what Matthew had brought out. But there's some points I want to make. And the first point I want to make is this. That it is God's will for people to be healed. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. It is God's will. Where there is doubt, where there are question marks in your mark, you need to deal with those doubts. You need to deal with those question marks. Because faith never goes beyond the question mark. You need to eradicate them, erase them, delete them from your mind, from your heart. Okay? You need to know that you know that you know that God heals today. Okay? And it is His will and aspiration for healing to flow. Healing is part of our salvation package. Point number two. It is not just getting saved, as you know by now. Salvation is a whole package, and healing is a part of that package. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9 says this: "Behold, I have come to do your will." That's Jesus was quoted there, saying that "I have come to do the will of the Father." That's what Jesus came to do, the will of the Father. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 in the Amplified Version, I'm going to read it, then I'm going to say something. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the Amplified, it says this: Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God and the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. What I'm going to say is something that I do not very often, but I believe that first part of that verse is wrongly interpreted. Okay? It says, it says Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God. That's not true. When you look at the word in the New King James Version, the word in the New King James Version is the word brightness. When you look up that word brightness, it means reflected splendor. Okay? Reflected splendor. So the Amplified saying that Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God is not true. And other scriptures prove that. We are also the expression of God's glory. Okay? God's glory is seen. First of all, God is to be glorified. There are four things that the Bible speaks about being glorified. Number one, God. Number two, Jesus. Number three, us. And number four, things. Okay? So when we read our scriptures and we read them properly, then we see correctly. So saying that, this scripture saying that Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God is not true, because we are also an expression of the glory of God. And I hope you understand what I'm saying, or where this comes from. So that's a mistake that the Amplified Version has made. Okay? Now, point number three, Jesus is the full expression of the Father. The full expression of the Father. What you see in Jesus is what you see in the Father. What Jesus says and what Jesus does, and he says this as well, that he does nothing, and he says nothing, except that which he hears the Father do, and that which he sees the Father do. So Jesus is the full expression of the Father. And the full expression of the Father includes our healing today. Okay, so we need to be clear in our minds that Jesus is expressing God's will, and God's will is for us to be healed. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to read out some points here. When healing the sick, Jesus never said, number one, he never said, it's not the right time, come back tomorrow. You'll never find that in God's word. Number two, Jesus has never said, you need to learn a few lessons first. Because sometimes we can tell ourselves things that aren't actually accurate or reflective of the heart of God or a full reflection or expression of the Father's will. Jesus has never said, you need to learn a few lessons first, come back tomorrow or the next day or the next week, and then I'll heal you. He's never said that. Number three, Jesus has never said you need to develop your character first before you can receive healing. He's never said that anywhere in his 3.5 year ministry while he was here on earth. Number four, Jesus has never said this is punishment from God. There was an instance where I believe it was Mark 10, 46 to 52. I think it was blind Bartimaeus. I think it was where a man was blind, and the disciples asked, is he this man sin, or did his parents sin, why he was this way? And Jesus responded by saying, no, but that the glory of God may be manifest, or words to that effect. In other words, then Jesus knew that this man's time was coming. He wasn't blind for this, but this man's time of deliverance was coming, where he would be healed, where he would be delivered. Everybody with me? Okay, and that's what Jesus was expressing there. He was not saying that this is punishment from God. He's never said that to anybody. This is a result of the punishment from God, and this is why you are sick. Let me put it this way. I've said this before. Jesus went to the cross, okay, and died so that we can receive healing. Okay, so God would never lay on any person that which he sent his son, Jesus, to die for. Everybody with me? So he will not lay sickness on you and then send his son, Jesus Christ, to go and die for the thing that is laid on you. All right? So that's never God. Number five, Jesus never said, I made them sick so my glory will be seen. Jesus has never said that anywhere at all in his ministry. He's never ever said that. So if we go to verse 18 in our text again and read it, it says this. It says, "And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Jesus rebuked the demon, it came out, the child was cured. Jesus rebuked the demon, it came out, and the child was cured. Okay? So, it is obvious to you and I, reading God's word the way it is read, that in this story, in this instance, okay, demonic activity was the cause of the sickness. Okay? But demonic activity is not the cause of every sickness. Please understand that and understand the difference. When you go through the Bible, and we've done this, we've looked at two verses, and I've blown up those two verses some months ago, showing you the Greek and the different words that were used by Jesus. I think it was Matthew 24, I'm not sure, or somewhere in Matthew. Two verses that we looked at every word, and we looked at the Greek, and we looked at the word epileptic, the word sickness, the word illness, epileptic. We looked at these words and the foundation from the root for them and their meaning. And so we see clearly, okay, that in these instances, there are different reasons for different sicknesses that people experience. I repeat myself deliberately. Not every sickness is caused by demons. Okay? So we need to bear that in mind. But some sicknesses are caused by the influence of demonic activity in the lives of people. And that we cannot deny, because it's in God's word, clear and straight. On more than one occasion, Jesus healed people. But before he healed them, they were delivered first. Now, what I can say is that sickness, okay, is the result of sin. Sickness is the result of sin. Now, I'm going back, okay, to, if you like, the book of Genesis. When man sinned, okay, sickness now came into the earth. And so all people are subject to sickness. Okay, and so sickness is the result, okay, of sin coming into the earth, entering into the world. And it's been there from the moment Adam and Eve sinned until now. And the only reprieve that we'll get from that, maybe reprieve is not the right word, the only time we're going to be delivered from that, from sickness, is when everything is renovated in the earth. Everything. So when the eternal kingdom comes about, we'll see sickness gone forever. Even during the millennium period, it's not gone forever. Because after the millennium period is finished, we know that Satan is going to be loose for a little season. And as long as Satan is loose, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be death, there's going to be sin, there's going to be sickness. Okay? But that will be eradicated once and for all when Satan and his angels are cast into the lake of fire, and they are dealt with once and for all. Now, let me give you some verses, okay? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, and all sinned." So Adam brought sin into the world, okay? And the scripture here is saying that one man brought sin into the whole world. And so the whole of humanity is subject, if you like, to sin. Right, now, the Bible says, so let me just be very clear. So sin brings death. And that's what we just read. Sin brings death. But in between sin and death, sin brings a lot of other things, and one of those other things is sickness. So sin, sickness, death. Okay? Sin, sickness, and it's not just sickness, it's a load of other things as well. Okay? But it brings death. And I'm going to share with you another scripture in a moment. Now, I'm not going to harp on about this, but I'm going to give you a quick definition for sin. Okay? And there are many. Okay? Biblically, there are quite a few. But I'm just going to give you one simple one so that it sticks with you and you remember it. Sin is any thought, words, or deeds that violates the laws of God or His standards. That's what sin is. Any thought, words, or deeds that violates the laws of God or His standards. So God's standard is a standard that said anything that violates that is sin. And there's no getting away from that. And I've simplified it to keep it as clear as I can before you. Now, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned." So there's not a person on this earth that can say, "I've never sinned." Okay? I was teaching in Bible school one time, and I think I shared this with you before. And I was introducing myself to the class. The class was introducing themselves to the rest of the class and to myself. And in their introduction, one man said that, you know, I asked him how long he was a Christian. He said, "He's always been a Christian. He's always been a Christian." I said, "You've always been a Christian?" He said, "Yeah, he was born a Christian." And his conversation, I didn't say too much because it was in front of the class, but throughout the term, we addressed that because it's something that stuck up in my mind. I said, "This is something that I've got to address." So we addressed it through scripture. But he was basically saying that he was born a Christian, he's never sinned, and he's okay. And, you know, there's so much that's wrong with that. But we brought correction to that. And there are some people that, you know, they're born into particular families, and they think that because they're born into a Christian family, they're a Christian. No, it doesn't make you a Christian. You're not a Christian until you have submitted your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, as we know. Okay? So there are different scopes and different things that people think, and sometimes our thinking really needs to be changed. So Romans 3:23, once again, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is God's word. We've come short of God's glory. Okay? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And so we see clearly from Romans 5:23 and also Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23, that there is sin brings death. Okay? Sin brings death. So, let me go to Mark chapter 9. Okay? Go to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole story. But go to Mark chapter 9. This is the same story, okay, but from Mark's perspective. And he says a little bit more, and I want to actually read what he says. I don't know if you know this, but Mark is actually John Mark. Okay? The book of Mark was actually written by someone called John Mark. John Mark is known by certain scholars as the secretary for Peter. Okay? So Mark is actually his surname. Okay? John Mark. And he's known as the secretary for Peter. So that's just by the way, really. But if we look at the same story, I'm just going to read from verse 20 to 24. And there's a little bit more information there that I want to focus on. Okay? Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed in him. This is a little boy. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood, and has often thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And that's very poignant, I think, right here. Mark brings out some key things that I want to address today that Matthew doesn't actually bring out as clearly. The father, if you can look at verse 22 again, the father actually put the onus on Jesus. Okay? He said in verse 22, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This was the father saying to Jesus, "Lord, what can you do for us? Whatever you can do, do it." But Jesus' response was to put the onus not on him, but to give the responsibility back to the father. And this he did in verse 23. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible." He put the onus right back on the father. He said to the father, no, the responsibility is not mine, it's yours. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And that's one of the points I want to lift up today, folks, that when we come to God for healing, certainly that's been my approach. I share and thank God for people who are praying for me through the week, over the years, over the long years, when I've been ill, when things had happened to me. But I make sure that I come before God with my faith, believing God for my healing. Are you with me, church? So we've got to do that. Many a times people put the onus on others. We come to the front, we put the onus on those praying for us. No, you've got to come and you've got to believe. There are many times, and I've gone through this once before in this church, there are many times when I've gone through the New Testament and I've pointed out where Jesus healed people and he says, "According to your faith, so be it. According to your faith, so be it." And he healed them according to their faith. And they reached up and Jesus saw their faith. And so we have to come to God in faith, believing not just for our healing, but our financial breakthrough, for our job situation, for that troublesome neighbor, for that relationship problem that you have. You've got to come to God believing that God has and will help, okay, you, but you've got to come in faith, believing for your healing, believing for your provision, believing for your breakthrough, whatever it is that you're believing God for, you've got to use your faith. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "To every man is given the measure of faith." We all have a measure of faith given to us. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, we read that, "For without faith it is impossible to please God, because those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, steady, constant effort seek him." And so we've got to come to God believing that what God has provided for us, he will do. We've got to come believing that our healing's already provided for. So all we're doing now is just, we're knocking on heaven's doors. We're just saying, "Lord, I'm receiving by faith that which you have provided for me." And then we come out of that declaration or prayer, whatever it may be, and then we receive it by faith and we wait patiently for that manifestation. Sometimes the manifestation will be immediate. Sometimes it won't be. It's progressive. Are you with me, church? The most word I've done this with you before, okay? The word used for healing in the New Testament, it's the most, there are several words that are used, but the one word that is used for healing the most in the New Testament, okay? It means a progressive thing. It means healing comes, but it comes progressively. It comes over a period of time. And that's why we see and we read time and time again, they were healed that very hour. They were healed that very hour. They were healed that very hour. With this little boy, we read that this morning in the context. They were healed that very hour. Not always immediately. Yes, sometimes it's immediate. Yes, it can be immediate. Yes, praise God when it is immediate. But sometimes it's progressive. And so we have to wait. And while you're waiting, you're praising God, you're believing, you're declaring, you're confessing, you're still praising God, you're remaining the same. Are you with me, church? I want us to be clear on that. Because we're going to be praying for the sick, you see, not just today, but constantly now. And we're going to rebuke whatever it is that is upon people. It has no right. But you're going to become aggressive as well and say, no, 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 this has no right. It's been there long enough. Today is a day it's going. Because it has no right to be in your body. We can't tolerate and blame age. Oh, well, you know, you're getting age. You're getting older. Or well, you know, my parents had it, their parents had it, and so, you know, I knew it was coming. And all these things and confessions that we make with our mouth, we need to reverse it in Jesus' name. If it comes against your good health, okay, number one, it's not of God, it's not from God. God does not want it on there. God wants you healthy. If you're not healthy, how are you going to serve Him? If you're not healthy, how are you going to do ministry? If you're not healthy, then you know what? That sickness could lead to death. And then what happens? Your life is cut short. So we need to look to the Word and not to other people's experience. Well, this happened to that person, that happened to that person. No, I don't want to hear about what happened to that person. I don't want to hear neither, well, what if nothing happens? No, you come in faith, you believe in faith, you stay in faith. And you declare out of your mouth, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's already done, by the way. I'm talking about the manifestation. It's already done. And we're going to be firm on God's word. And firm with what the Father has said. And the word of God says about us. But in order to do that, we've got to address some issues. And so, Mark chapter 6. Let me just flick there. If you were at Mark 9, just flick over a few pages. I might as well read it. I've got it written out, but I might as well read it. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. It says this. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And this is Jesus. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So even Jesus, the Son of the living God, could do no mighty works there because of the presence of unbelief. I am telling you today, I'm reminding you because you know this already, that unbelief will squash your healing. It will stop it flowing if it's there in your heart, in your life. If you're hearing this word and you're saying, oh, well, you know what, I don't really believe that, then unbelief is present. And that unbelief will stop you receiving what God wants you to receive. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. So we're going to deal with it. What is unbelief? Unbelief is faithlessness. I've got some notes here in my Bible that I wrote out years ago on a post-it. It's faithlessness, disbelief, unfaithfulness. Okay, the noun apistos, which is the Greek for unbelief, is distrust, a violation of faith. And it even means apostasy. Now Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12, write these scriptures down. It says, beware, okay, of an evil, lest the evil heart of unbelief becomes present in your life. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 4 verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because of the presence of unbelief. Because they did not mix that word with faith. If faith is not working in your life, you are in sin. And that's the bottom line. That's why every person is given a measure of it. That's why we need to be operating in it. If faith is not working in your life, you're working outside of the premise of God, and you're in sin. That's the bottom line with that. Faith has got to be working in your life. You don't pick up faith and use it because you need it here or you need it there. No, the life that we live is a life of faith. So you are always operating 24/7, should be, in faith. Now, Psalm 78, another one to write down. Psalm 78 and verse 41. It says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So God's people, this was talking about Israel. The Bible says that they tempted God again and again and again and again and again. As a matter of fact, one record, God said these 10 times Israel up to that point had tempted him. 10 times. And the Bible says here, they tempted him again and again and again. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. We've got to be careful that we're not limited God from working in our lives because of the presence of unbelief. What God says is what we've got to believe. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how it smells. I don't care who's saying what. We listen to too many voices sometimes and not the voice of the Holy Spirit, not the voice of the Word of Scripture. And that's what we need to listen to. Now, I'm going to close. Let me give you some scriptures in closing. I'm going to read them out. I wrote them out in my book. Isaiah 53 verse 5, and these are all healing scriptures. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Whatever is in your body, upon your body, I'm telling you that there is a healing that God has provided for you to receive today in Jesus' name. Exodus 15:26, for I am the Lord who heals you. Matthew 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Acts 9, verse 34 and 35. I like this, so listen to this one. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, I hope I pronounced that right, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus the Christ, let me read it again. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And then the Bible says, then he arose immediately. But verse 35 says this, so all who dwelt in Lydia and Sharon, two villages, saw him and turned to the Lord. I declare today that people will see you and know that you were ill, know that you were not well, know that you needed your breakthrough, but they will see you in a new light. They will see you with your healing. They will see you with your breakthrough, and then they will turn to the Lord. Two villages here. One man got healed, and two villages turned to the Lord. How much is God able to do today, folks? How much is he able to do today? But he's looking for people who will believe him. That God is a God of turnaround. That God will turn things around. And we've heard the testimonies, beautiful testimonies, in the past week, on Thursday and last week. Beautiful testimony of what God has done. And I'm here to announce to you that there's so much more that's coming. And there's bigger and better and greater that God is going to do, because God is looking for people. He's looking for a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that will believe him, that will trust him, and that will believe that he is a God who heals. He is a God who delivers. He is a God who sets free. He is a God who provides. He is a God who does what he said that he would do, because he's a God of integrity. That's the God that we serve. Aren't you glad that we're serving God and not man? I mean, I know I am. Man will look at you, man will judge you, man will lie, man will say all sorts of different things, and they do. But that doesn't matter as long as God is for me. The Bible says God is for you, who can be against you? And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to close by saying this. So number one, we need to deal with unbelief, okay? We need to deal with that in our lives. Shut it down, man, where it's raised in its ugly head. Number two, we need to arise and we need to believe. This man, this father, was standing on behalf of his son. He arose and he went to do something about it. And he came to the source, the right source, Jesus Christ. We need to arise and we need to go to our source, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is able to deliver, who is able to heal, who is able to set free. We need to come to him, but we need to come to him in faith. So we need to deal with unbelief. We need to arise. We need to put on faith. We need to open our mouths. Number four, open our mouths, and we need to speak right. We need to speak right. You know, many a time I listen to people and their words. I listen to individuals when they talk. And sometimes I hear people canceling out what they're really believing and what they're saying. What they, you know, they say one thing, but then they cancel it out with their words because we don't pay attention to our words. And our words are powerful. And if we're not careful, we'll cancel our healing. If we're not careful, we'll just cancel out our blessing. If we're not careful, we'll reverse the work that God has already begun to do in our lives. And what we've got to do is stay consistent. Come on, somebody shout, stay consistent. We've got to stay. We've got to stay there. Stay consistent upon God's word. And so, let me just give you this, okay? And then I'm finished. We're gonna take communion. We're going to pray. We got to, and it's so important. This is why I'm emphasizing this. And I might say some more on Thursday, actually, in our meeting. We need to really make sure that our words line up with God's word, that what we are saying, okay, can be qualified in the light of God's word. Whatever you are releasing and declaring over yourself, over your life, over your body, that it is in equal and in line to God's word. Don't speak what is. And this is where the difference between facts and truth comes in. Speak and declare truth. You come for healing, I've got pain in my leg. That's a fact. Okay? But I'm saying to you now, the truth is that healing for that leg has already been provided. It's already been provided. Don't look to this person or that person or, well, they've been praying for me for years and nothing's happened, nothing's changed. That's what cancels out your healing and your blessing. Don't do that. Don't go back and call things or declare or speak the negative over the thing that you're believing for. If you're looking for healing in your legs, you stay on that and you believe for it in Jesus' name. When the doctors told me I had acroceliac joint dysfunction, bone rubbing against bone, I was walking with a limp then, and the doctors told me that I would never get healed again, and I will always walk with a limp in my for the rest of my life. I did not believe the doctor, I believed God. Because I went to God and I said, Lord, healing's been provided for me. That is not my finality of my body. It is not. And this, I was really, really, I've always been aggressive when it comes to sickness. When it comes, and it does come, and all of us are subject to that, okay? But I'm aggressive against it because that's never God's will, never God's purpose. And I stayed on God's word. I stayed confessing God's word. I said it out of my mouth, in the atmosphere, changed the atmosphere. I blessed the Lord. I praised God. I did everything that I can. And I told you this story before, I know you know it. And I walked that, how many miles, I don't know, to pick up my car from the garage, confessing and developing a stride and just confessing God's word and praising him and declaring the end result and declaring it and declaring it and declaring it. And to be honest with you, I don't think I can remember the very moment when I was healed. But suddenly one day I realized, no more acroceliac joint dysfunction, no more pain, no more limping. It was healed, just like with my eye. When I was blind in one eye, I couldn't see through one eye. And the doctors again told me I would not be able to see. I came aggressively with the word of God. I say aggressively because Matthew 11 says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. There's a force that's coming against you, but God has given us a force, Luke 10:19, that we can take against it. And we've got to exercise that force and recognize it for what it is. No devil, I will not have that. That's not the finality of my life. It's not how God wants me to be. So I'm not going to have that. God has already provided for me everything that I need. And so I went aggressively before God. Went to Atlanta, and it was sometime in Atlanta I realized, I don't know when, again. I realized, hang on a minute, my sight has come back. And it's come back and never gone against sins. After being there for weeks. I can't remember how long it was there. So what I'm saying to you folks is that no matter what you're facing, hey, isn't this good news? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You can't surprise God by what you have. Maybe somebody here has something that you've not shared with anybody. It's a tumor or cancer or something deep down happening, and you know that maybe if it's even historic, you've got to say within yourself, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, this family thing stops now. I break that curse in Jesus' name. But you've got to rise up. And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me to tell the church. Rise up and stand. You've got to stand on God's word. And you've got to believe God like never before. You've got to be aggressive in your spirit. Because God is for you. Now, five things that, and you know this, but I'm just going to kick it out there and then I'm finished. Five things that will stop you saying the right thing. Five things that will stop you declaring the God's word over your life. Speaking the end result. Calling forth those things that be not as though they already exist. Five things that will stop you from doing that. There may be more, but if these five are stuck in my spirit for all these years. Okay? Number one, fear. Fear, and I'm not going to exalt on that. You know this, and you know the scriptures. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay? Fear. Number two, laziness. Lazy to confess God's word. Lazy to believe God for yourself. You want others to pray for you, but you're lazy to get up and to exercise your faith and speak out of your mouth to get the end result. You want others to do it for you, but you don't want to do it for yourself. Oh, phone the telephone prayer chain, thank God for them, but you don't pray for yourself. Laziness. Laziness will stop you from getting your breakthrough. Number three, unbelief. We looked at that in this story. Where even Jesus, the Son of God, could not do many mighty works there because of the presence of unbelief. Number four, ignorance. Ignorance, the Greek word is skotos, which means darkness, to not have knowledge, to not have light. Okay? When God's word is light and we are children of light and God has given us knowledge, His word. And we've got to hide it in our hearts. But if laziness is there, we won't even open God's word. You read a psalm before you go to bed, and that's it. But no studying. No studying at all. No in-depth study. And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, a workwoman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot rightly divide the word unless you study. You cannot. If you're not careful, you find yourself manipulating. So number one was what? Number two? Laziness. Number three? Unbelief. Number four? Ignorance. Number five? Number five? I haven't said it yet, have I? I haven't said it. I know, but somebody said something. So just what? Doubt. That's it. There we go. See? Simone's got it. Garfield's got it. Doubt. Doubt. I know that he can, but I'm not sure that he will. And there are four different Greek words. I'm not going to go into that now. That word doubt means. It means to be in two minds. It means to be here and there and everywhere. You can't split yourself like that. You can't. When doubt is there, it's gonna bring you right back down. Below the level you ought to be. Because we ought to be seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. But when doubt comes in now, what happens is that another mindset comes in. And what you're doing is now you're being in two minds. That's one of the definitions of doubt. To be in two minds. To be in two minds. I know that gal can, but I'm not sure that he will. You're looking at the good and the good that God has done, but you're also looking at, well, I'm not sure that he will. Well, look, he didn't do that for that person. Well, this person died of this, and that person died of that. And you're looking, you're going here, and you're going there. You're all over the place. And you know the book of James says, let not that man who doubts think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because he's unstable in all his ways. And that's what's happening. When we see doubt at work, instability comes right in. And you can't be steady, and God wants you to be steady. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that steady people are here, ready to receive from God everything that He has provided. Is it me or are you hot? You guys hot? It's me then. All right, okay. So, praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Come, let's stand. As you stand on your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes. Right where you are, everybody, come on. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Now, listen to me carefully. This little boy got his healing because his father perceived what Jesus was saying and obeyed what Jesus was saying. And the Bible says he was healed from that very hour. It doesn't matter the source or the cause of whatever it is that is going on in your body. I'm telling you right now, it does not belong there. God wants you healthy. He wants you whole. He wants you fit. He wants you well. Okay? And so that thing, whatever it may be, in Jesus' name, your breakthrough, your change, your turnaround can come beginning today. But folks, you've got to believe. You've got to believe, and you've got to, I'm going to talk about this, I think, some more on Thursday. You've got to open your mouth and say the right thing. You've got to declare what God says. That's what the word confession means in the Greek, homologio, to say the same thing. Whatever God says, you say the same thing. God says you're healed, you say the same thing. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. Peter, quoting from the Old Testament, says that by his stripes we were healed. In the Old Testament it says are. Peter in the New Testament says were. It's already provided. And so the healing's already provided. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I want to tell you right now in Jesus' name that you can receive from God your healing. Begin to give him thanks and begin to give him glory and begin to push out everything. All those things that stand in the way. Father, we stand before you today. And Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for your love and your care and your mercy toward us. Lord, we see you operating on this earth in your ministry for only 3.5 years. And you started, oh God, an unlimited company that is still growing, oh God, after being established, Lord God, for thousands of years, we can now say. And Father, we thank you that, oh God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, behold, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. You loved us from the beginning, Lord. And you love us now. And Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, Lord. And as we've just read it, Lord, it's by his stripes that we are healed. And so, Lord, we come humbly, but we come also with the confidence in our hearts, Lord, that you are able to do what you said you would do, Father. And so, Lord, we pray for every individual right now, Lord God, that may be experiencing pain or discomfort in their body. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them and rebuke sickness right now. We rebuke pain. We rebuke the very core and cause of it, Lord God. And we say, stop. You have no right to be functioning in this body, this temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we pray that your blood will cover them and that, Lord God, you will remove from them, Father, the very sickness, oh God, and the very ill health and everything that is there. We thank you, oh God, that you will replace it with goodness, oh God, that is in hot pursuit after us, with good health, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We speak strength, oh God, into those bones, into those situations, Lord God. We speak strength, we speak wholeness, oh God, and we give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory right now in Jesus' mighty name. I don't know if there's somebody here. This just came to me. I don't know if you remain, keep your eyes closed. If there's anybody here with back problems, the Lord just reminded me of how he healed me years ago in our prayer meeting. He told me that I would never have. I wasn't even asking for it, but God told me that I would never have back problems again for the rest of my life. And believe me, until this day, I've not had back problems the way that I had it before, or any at all. And I don't know if there's anybody here this morning. I don't know if you... Has anybody got back problems? Just, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up your people before you now. As a matter of fact, come forward. Come forward. Those of you, come forward. I just want to move the way that the Holy Spirit wants me to move this morning. Come forward. I just want to speak into your lives this morning. That back problem, whatever it is, whatever the cause of it, I don't care how long it's there. It's, listen to me. I want to form you to look at me now. It's going in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I said it's gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, can you stretch your hand toward your brothers and sisters for me, please? Father, we just lift up your people before you now in the name of the Lord. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to confess the end result in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whatever the problems, whatever the ailments, is gone from this hour in Jesus' name. There's no right, no jurisdiction upon your body in the name of the Lord. Father, I come on the authority of your word, Lord. Amen. And Father, we thank you. Even as Peter said, it's the Christ who heals. Amen.
Lord, even so, Father, we lift you up, Lord God, and we pray that you'll touch your people now, in Jesus' name, that you'll bring healing into their bodies, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bring healing to Joyce back, Lord God. We bring the blood of Jesus Christ over her, Father. We bring healing to Pastor Jesus back, Lord God. And, Lord God, we pray that you just speak your well-being and your peace into his life, into his body, in Jesus' name. I rebuke every cause of sickness, every cause of this back problem. In Lord, Lord, we rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And Father, we say, Father, have your way. It is Jesus Christ who heals, and Jesus Christ who gets the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you'll touch cold and rebuke this pain, oh God, and this back problem that he's had, Father. And we give you all the glory right now for what you are doing, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Now, what you're going to do, the four of you, just bend. I don't know, maybe you don't have it now, maybe it comes and goes. I know what it's like, I've had it a long time. But just do something, okay, now or during the week that you've never done before, and continue to thank God for the healing that is already been manifest. Continue to thank him and believe for it and release those words out of your mouth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here? Oh, is there somebody here who the doctor has told you something recently? That just come to, I don't know. The doctor's told you something recently that's not good news. And it's there in your mind or in your body. Is there anybody? I don't know. I just sensed that. Is there anybody here? The doctor's told you something recently. I don't know if it's somebody here, but I just wanted to put it out there. Father, I pray for those that maybe not here, Lord God, but maybe somebody who's not here. Lord God, that you have spoken to, Father. And Lord God, whoever they are, wherever they are, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are the God of the turnaround, Lord. And we know that you can do this, Lord God. You are the doctor of doctors, Lord God. You're the physician of physicians, Lord. And Father, we just come against pride. We come against everything, Lord Jesus, that would want to hold us back, Lord. And Father, we openly confess that you are God and that you are good. And that, Father, your provision and your blessing, Lord God, endures not just for a generation, but forever. You love us, O God, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for those in that individual, whoever that may be, Lord God, wherever they may be, that, Lord Jesus, you will turn it around. Maybe it's somebody that somebody here knows, Lord. And I pray that you will give them the words of wisdom to speak into the life of this individual, whoever it may be. That, Lord God, we speak health, Lord, and well-being and strength into their bodies in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for who you are and for what you have done and for what you are doing right now in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands and begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him. Father, we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for who you are. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the thanks, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory. Father, we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Be exalted, King of Kings. Be exalted, Lord. Be exalted, O God. We lift you up. We magnify you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray for those who may be in constant pain, Lord God. Silently, but constant pain, Father, we just rebuke that pain right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, our loved ones, Lord, that we may know that are not here, Lord God, don't even come to this church, Lord God, but we may know of them, Lord. And we pray, Father, that, oh God, you will use us, oh God, to be a point and source of blessing, oh God, in Jesus' name. We come against those pains, Lord, and we come against, Father, everything that comes against their good health. And we give you all the glory for who you are and for what you are doing in Jesus' mighty, precious name. Amen and amen. Father, I'm just going to pray some things. Father, I pray for anybody here that has a problem with their ear, Lord. A problem with their ear, whether it's hearing or not, Lord God. We pray, Father, whatever is wrong there, that you will touch them. That, Lord God, their ear will be completely, totally open in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you don't know, if you know somebody that is not here, that has a problem with their ear, go home and just lay hands on them and pray for them in Jesus' name. And if that's you and you're here, just put your finger on that ear or in that ear right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that that ear will be open completely in Jesus' name. I rebuke everything, oh God, that causes it to be closed. And Lord, we thank you for complete and total healing, Lord God, that you have promised in your word. We give you praise and we give you glory for all that you are doing, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Anybody have a problem with your shoulder or your neck? Anybody else? Come forward. Shoulder or your neck. I'm just spitting it out as it comes to me. And please remember, as you're coming, it's not me that's doing the healing, it's God. Your shoulder or your neck, stiffness, I felt it, stiffness and pain there. Again, I'm going to anoint you for it. And we're going to pray. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The five of you, who's going to heal you?
Jesus.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We come aggressively against everything that's in that neck. That's in that shoulder. No, we're not accepting it. We don't believe it. No, it's not part of that. Not part of your well-being in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands toward your brothers, your sisters, sorry. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Rebuke you, Lord God, everything. Rebuke you, Lord. Father, we lay hands on Cara right now, and I rebuke this. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her, but I rebuke this discomfort, this pain, this source of discomfort, Lord God, from her shoulder, from her neck, in the name of Jesus. Neck, I speak to you, be corrected now, in Jesus' name. Be corrected, be free, in the name of Jesus Christ. And just begin now to move your neck, your shoulder. Do what you can do, come to the floor. While you're doing it, give God thanks. Okay? Stay there and do it. Don't move. Where is it? At the back. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this discomfort, we come against this pain. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord, and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ right now. And Father, thank you for that your Son Jesus Christ touches her now, Lord, and heals her from this discomfort, this pain. Be released, shoulder. Be released, neck. I speak to you, be released in the name of the Lord. This is fullness and wealth and healthy and health and well-being into her body right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Begin to move your shoulder. Begin to make it there. Just begin to do what you can comfortably do. And thank God. From your mouth. Thank God. Thank God for doing it. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on Debbie right now. And this pain and discomfort that is there, Lord God, whatever the source, whatever the cause of it, Lord God, we rebuke right now in Jesus' name. It has no right to be there. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your daughter. Lord God, thank you, Father, for the freedom and the liberty that you bring right now into her body in Jesus' name. Shoulder, we speak to you. Be healed in the name of the Lord. We speak strength. We speak well-being into you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And we give you thanks, Lord God, for all that you are doing even now. Father, thank you, because you're a faithful God who is able. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Let's begin to move your shoulder. Begin to give God thanks, David. Just begin to do what you couldn't do before. Just begin to do it. Continue. Don't stop until okay, it's manifest or until the Holy Spirit tells you to stop. All right? Begin to do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Decide. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord God. And we just lift up Joan before you, my sister, your daughter, Lord. And Lord God, we rebuke right now every discomfort that's in her body. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we speak well-being and health into her shoulder.
In the name of Jesus.
Is there somebody here with leg problem? Leg problem. Just do that. Wherever the leg is, just say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Amen. Just do that.
Well, whoever you are, just do that. Say, thank you, Lord. Out your mouth. Say, baby. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Say it out loud. I can't hear you. You need to say it louder. Say it out loud, sweetheart. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Father, we just lift up John before you now. Show that we speak to you. We rebuke every pain and discomfort that's there. We command you to leave this body to go in the name of the Lord. And we go, God, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that strength will arise and go into this shoulder, into this whole area in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus will flee over it. And we say, be healed in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Be healed. And we give you praise and we give you thanks, Father, for what you are doing now in Jesus' name. Give God thanks. Give him thanks. Where is it? Right there. You feel it now? Is this pain there now? Father, we just lift up Leona before you, Lord. And this pain that's there now, we rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And Father, we command it to leave and to go. We stand on the authority of your word. And we give you thanks, Lord God, that healing for Leona is already provided. And so, Father, first of all, we rebuke this pain. We rebuke the very core, the very source of it. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we command it to leave her body right now in Jesus' name. And we speak health and well-being. And we speak wholeness into this neck area. And we pray that every discomfort is gone. And we give you praise, oh God. We give you glory for what you are doing now in her life, in her body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just declare. Just release it out of you. Just say, thank you, Lord. And just do something that you couldn't do before.
Is your leg better? Come. Come, sweetheart. Let me help you with your faith. What's the problem with your neck?
Come. Ah, when you're asleep? Oh, the bed is beside your bed. Ah, you're banging. Which one is it? Which leg? This one. Ah, and it hurts. Oh, we're gonna pray for you. She banged her head on the radiator last night. Her leg on the radiator last night, okay? And it's,
I think she burned it.
And she burned it as well.
Yes,
it's on. Alright. Alright, so we're gonna pray for her, okay?
Amen.
We're not anointing you, boy. We're gonna pray. Listen, look at Uncle David. That's gonna be healed.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Alright.
Jesus loves you, you know. He loves you. He's watching over you. Listen, I was kneeling down, and I shared this with the church. And sometimes these things happen, you know. I was kneeling down. You know what I was kneeling down to do? To pray. And you know what I did? I hit my side on the bed foot, and it was there for weeks. That pain and discomfort was there for weeks. But I came out of that, and I said, Lord, I'm believing for my healing. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal me. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to restore me. Thank you, Lord. I did that every day. Thank God every day. And guess what? He did it. No more pain, no more this. Really hurt, so I know what you're talking about, okay? And we're going to pray, and God will touch you, and God will heal you, okay? Completely. Okay, so we claim that now. Could you stretch your hands toward her for me, please? Thank you. Father, we just lift up your young, precious daughter, Lord. You said, suffer no children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now we speak against this leg that is bringing discomfort, this burn, this pain, and the ache that's there. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you said, Lord, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we just come before you now. And with Lord, we want to thank you for healing that's already provided for her. We call it forth now in Jesus' name. And we pray, oh God, that this discomfort and the burn marks and everything, oh God, that's there, that does not belong, will be corrected, will be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing it, Lord. Thank you for the strength that you bring, oh God, to your precious little child. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. So be healed in the name of the Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Precious child. All right, God bless you. Thank you, guys. So important to stay in faith. I'm going to pray one more prayer. You can't be seated. I'm going to pray one more prayer. And that is for those I just feel to pray for.